And away we go. So let me, man, it's so weird being in the class today and seeing Alan's face. Okay, we're going to go over here and I'm going to share my screen. And Judges chapter 13. And away we go. And we touched on a little bit of this last week. So Judges chapter 13, story of Samson. And I want to talk about his parents first because he's got some very interesting parents. His mom is just awesome. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. 40 is the number of probation in the Bible. So they're on probation for these 40 years. And again, we've got this continuous trend, these kind of yo-yo Christians, where they're up, they're down. You know, I look at the story, I just don't get it. I know this is us, but I just don't get it when you know the end of the story. Just stay connected to God, and then you won't have to worry about some of the stuff that you got to go through. All right, but the good news is when you go through different things, it gets the attention so that maybe you come back to God. So they come back to God because they're crying out to him. Verse 2, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, Dan meaning the tribe that means judge, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not, which was not really a proud thing in that time. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. I love this. All right, so let me just look at what I've got in my notes. Yes, and I got some highlights there or whatever, just some neat little things there. Here's the thing. You know, the angel is telling her, and this is called what some people call a Christophany, where, you know, if you believe in that or not, I kind of sort of do, where the angel of the Lord is really or maybe a type of Christ or Christ himself before he came in his human form in Bethlehem. So, I kind of like that idea because of the nature of the ministry that the angel of the Lord in some of these stories in the Old Testament, what they accomplish or whatever. But I digress. Let me keep going. I like what happens here. The angel does not ignore the current condition. Doesn't. Just acknowledge it. Hey, you're barren. You're broke. You can't produce. You're a failure. Now, but, and I love the but, you're not going to stay like that for long. You're going to conceive and you're going to bear a son. What do you think she was praying for? What do you think she was waiting for? A miracle. She was barren. No hope. And now all of a sudden, she gets hope because the word of God comes back and says, hey, I understand your condition, but I'm going to turn that thing around and what you're waiting for and what you're hoping for is going to happen. I'm going to stop right there because here's the interesting thing about this story in Samson, what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want to know who's sneaking up on me. Okay, there we go. All right. Why should we care and how does this story and how can this story relate and apply to us? So every time we hit a passage of scripture or whatever, and you might get some clues from some of the highlights that I have in my notes, but the Lord says, hey, this is your right now situation, but something on the inside of you is going to come out, and it's what you've been waiting for all these years. Talk to me. Can you use this? Al, you're on mute. I can't hear you. I know Juanita wants to say something about this. I know she said hallelujah or something in there.
Yes, you can use
this. Okay. And how can we use this, dear? Say you got to go to the doctor. All right.
And the doctor says that the young woman wants to have a child, and the doctor saying you won't be able to conceive.
Okay. All right.
And as this here in the story, this is where she was. A man do not have the last say. God does.
I got you.
We should always keep our hope in God, because God can do miracles. He can do So we should keep asking God and trusting Him and believing that even though man says you can't have this and you can't do this, God has the final say.
God has the final say. So I don't know why the volume on my computer is so low this morning or whatever. But just for everybody else in the room, regardless of what the world says, God has the final answer.
Amen.
I mean, it's not a hard question. I mean, my hope is in the Lord.
Anything.
Yeah. And she said that's with anything. And so here it is. She's been waiting all these years. It looks like it ain't going to happen. And the angel comes and gives her what? Through, by what way? And what manner? Yeah, through the word. Gives her a word. A word of promise. Yeah, word of promise, a word of hope. It's through the word. It is through the word. So the angel gives her a word, and because of that word, she's got a hope. Now, I love what happens next. Verse 4. Now, therefore, as a result of what's inside of you, as a result of what God's going to do, and where's he going to start at? On the inside. So because of what God is going to do on the inside, all right, here's what you need to do. He gives you further instructions in Revelation. I just love it. Once you get Revelation, he gives you instructions on what to do next. All right. Now, therefore, verse 4, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink. Man, that means my JB's got to go. All right. And eat not. And if you're laughing, just praise the Lord for just all right, amen. You know, Al ain't laughing because, you know, he had a little bit of money growing up, so he was doing that Crown Royal stuff. But anyway, let's just keep going. And
you don't do anything.
And eat not any unclean thing. Okay, so you gotta give up the pork. All right, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So we got a process here. And so I asked the question before I go any further in my notes. Is there an application for the instructions that the wife is getting? Is there anything that we can take away from that that we can use?
Follow the instructions.
All right. Whose instructions? Follow the instructions from God. Because, you know, some other folk will give you some instructions too. All right. There ain't no doubt about that. I know a bunch of folks told me some things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I went and did them. I'm like, oh, well, that was stupid. All right, so you got to make sure that your instructions are coming from the Word, which is coming from God. All right? So because everybody who's just going to give you instructions may not give you the right information. They may mean well. But if it ain't lined up with the Word of God, it might take you down the wrong road.
Amen.
And you don't want to have an abortion over what God is putting in you that's supposed to come out of you. I don't want the plan that God has for my life to not be born because I'm listening to the wrong instructions.
Right.
All right. So he tells her what to do. Gives her those instructions. All right. I don't want to get into the whole Nazarite thing or whatever because you can look at that. I got a scripture reference there. It's in Numbers. Chapter 6, it talks about what it means. And really, it's just being consecrated, separated. You're dedicating your life to God. So it says the person that's going to come out of you is going to be dedicated to me. So no wine, no haircuts, no unclean things. Can't touch dead folk. All right? You got to be spiritually and pure. And he shall begin, lets you know that it's going to be a process. They didn't get in this thing overnight. They might not get out of it overnight. But you can understand that there's a process. Things are going to start happening now. Oh, my God, I just said something to somebody. I know at least two or three people can get blessed by that. You may have been waiting for something. Maybe you got a word today. And just understand that it may not happen when you leave this place. But there's a process that's kicking off. And it starts with the word.
Amen.
So if you get a word and it gives you hope, the process has started. Oh, good gracious. I hope everybody gets a good word today. All right, here you go. If you don't get it out of here, you get it in the service today. All right. Now, I got a note here. I got a couple of notes. I don't want to do anything, and I mentioned this earlier, that's going to damage or impact the promises that God has on my life or the plan that he has for my life. And I got a note here. What God puts in you can be adversely impacted by your actions.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And that's true in the natural. I mean, I ain't never gave birth, but I've seen a couple people that did. You know. And, you know, if you do bad things during your pregnancy, it can have an impact on what comes out. And you can have a birth defect. I don't want to have a birth defect, all right, because I didn't follow God's instructions, and I can't have, and what he's given me or what he's promised me or what he's planned for me is damaged as a result of me not protecting what he's put inside of me.
But you're talking about the life.
Yeah.
Our lives are all affected by Satan.
Okay,
and
yeah.
We don't know the word of God, we in trouble.
Man, you know what? I love teaching and preaching. I love teaching more than preaching. I said I love preaching and teaching. I love teaching more than I like. Oh, Earl said something. I don't know what Earl said.
Earl said that's the life effect you're talking about that affects our lives. And,
yep.
And without the word, we might as well just...
Yeah, he said, without the word, you don't have those instructions. So, you know, that leads to birth defects. So, teaching, being a Bible teacher, keeps me straight. Because I'm still working, and I'm working every day. You can get caught up in work, and the first thing you get out of bed, you think about work. And teaching keeps me straight because I want to be able to take what God has put inside of me as far as that word is concerned and be able to effectively share and be able to effectively receive from you guys back in. And I need to protect that anointing. So some things I would normally do, I don't do. yeah, because I can't do what the enemy wants me to do, all right, and still roll up in here with a good conscience and still have that anointing. Because if I come in here wrong, if I come in here with pride, if I come in here with sin, if I don't protect the anointing that he has given me, then that word is going to come out crazy. So, you know,
that,
you just...
That talent of yours is a gift from him, though. He knew what he was doing.
Absolutely.
Keeping you straight. So you can study the word.
Yeah, Earl says that talent that he's put inside of us, inside of me or whatever, that you know, we got to make sure we protect that. So you want to protect your anointing.
Amen.
You want to protect what God has promised for you. All right? So, I mean... Whatever God has for you, by faith, you got to protect that thing. That's the one thing that Samson does not do a real good job of.
Yeah.
Is protecting the power and the anointing or whatever. And so when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you want to give them a piece of your mind,
don't.
You don't.
Now,
why?
Who would do that?
Who would do that? Earl said, who would do that? Don't raise your hand, because, you know, don't raise your hand. But I got to protect.
Jersey,
yeah. Yes, sir. Al said, think about last week. What happened last week?
That trigger.
Oh, yeah. Ice cream money.
The
lesson last week. Al was talking about the lesson last week. He said sometimes some Christians have a trigger. And we were looking at Jephthah, and in the last chapter of Judges that we looked at, it was Judges chapter 12, is that whole chapter on shibboleth that we talked about, the word shibboleth. And they said the wrong thing to Jephthah. Jephthah was doing great. He was doing fine or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I can't remember what tribe it was now, Ephraim, I think it was Ephraim or whatever, and came against him and said, "Hey, look, we're going to burn your house down on top of you." And that didn't set him off. I mean, why are you going to burn my house down? I'm trying, he's trying to negotiate. But when they told him that he wasn't part of the family and that he was a bastard, tribe, and he didn't get full rights or whatever. He's a stepchild in this thing. Man, all that old stuff, it triggered some stuff. And he started killing everybody. That's what I was talking about. Started killing everybody. And he caught him. He put up a checkpoint. He said, "Are you from Ephraim?" And if they said yes, he said, "I don't believe it. Say, shibboleth? Say shibboleth." Yeah, and they had a dialect, and they couldn't say shibboleth. They could only say shibboleth. If they didn't say it right, that was it. I mean, so you got to be careful because everybody ain't all the way saved, and they might you might set them off. All right, amen. Well, I don't want to say all the way saved, but everybody's got a trigger. Mm-hmm. But I thank God for the resurrection because we talked about this last week too. Because the resurrection, when you're dead indeed with Christ, you can live a trigger in the grave.
You can.
Yeah. But some of us still walking around like the Lone Ranger, and we ride trigger. But anyway, let's just keep going. I just dated myself. All right. We'll get back on track. Thank you. Al threw me off. He's trying to keep me from going through this chapter. That's what it is. All right. But no, I appreciate it because that was a good lesson last week, and that was just a good point. Okay, let me get to it. All right. Then the woman told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God." Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was. I didn't ask where he came from. I was too scared. Neither told me his name. But he said unto me, "Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child should be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." All right. So the woman goes and tells her husband. That's a good thing. All right. And she knows that this came from the Lord because he said the guy, he looked like he came from God. So that's good. And she reports back pretty almost accurately, almost what the angel said. She added a little bit here or there, left out a little here, but for the most part, she did okay. All right? Again, there's not a whole lot in this story, just about two or three main points or whatever. We already hit, two of those points, so we ought to be able to flow through this pretty quickly. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "Oh, my Lord, Al, you be careful. I don't want you to get in trouble over this next series of scriptures here, all right?" Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "Oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came to me the other day." And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And he said, oh, get this, I am. Ooh, we know what that means. All right. Let's replay the story real quickly. The woman of God comes back and gives a word that she received to the man of God with instructions. Did Manoah believe his wife?
No, he said he wanted more instructions.
Well, yes and no, I think. This is just Chuck. Because she said, hey, our hope has been renewed because what we've been hoping for is about to happen. And I think he believed that part, but he wanted to make sure that the instructions she got was okay. Now, as we read the story, we know that the woman got it right. But he went back to God to say, this is what I heard. I need to make sure that you get it right because I need to hear it for myself. I'm not going to necessarily say that's a lack of faith, but I'm going to say confirmation. So you want to make sure sometimes that you want to make sure that you got confirmation. So Al, if Juanita comes to you and tells you the Lord told her something, all right, you just put your hand up to her face and just, just go into your prayer closet and say, you know, well, God ought to be telling me first or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So eventually you're going to find out. So just, you know, I don't want to get you in trouble, Al, but you know, just follow the word. Amen. You do what Manoah said do. All right, there you go. So you might want to check that. I love the fact, as a Christian woman, that she considers her husband and she don't outrun her coverage. She takes that thing back to the husband, who spiritually is the head, but they're in joint partnership in this thing. And she takes it back to him, and he takes it back to the Lord. I wish, well, I tell you what, you may not agree, but I wish Adam had took it back to the Lord.
Yep.
All right, so, you know, enough there. All right, let's go. he might have had a lack of faith, but, you know, just anyway. I wish my wife was around here. I let her know. I can't believe everything that comes. I gotta take it back to the Lord. Amen. I can say that. You can't say that, Al. All right, because you know Juanita.
How can I say that?
Because I don't want you to look like a cone head after she put that knot on your head. If you know. Anyway, so let me just keep going here. You're slowing me up, Al. You're slowing me up. All right. I don't know why the angel went to the woman in the first place twice. And the only thing I can think of is maybe she's the one that was in the greater need.
She's the one giving birth.
She's the one. So you know what? So I don't think God is out of order. I think they're both wanting this. But I think the stigma and the need is greater for her than it is for him. And she's going to have to go through more. So he talks directly to her, but she shares that word of hope with her husband. I just love this woman. All right, where's Jalen at? Jalen, get you a woman like Manoah, and don't get like the woman in the next chapter we're going to talk about. All right, just because she looked good don't mean that she's good for you. All right. Well, that's next week's lesson. All right, so Jalen, make sure you come next week. Like we'll teach you how to pick a wife or a girlfriend. You ain't ready for any of that yet. You know, you just go to school. All right, there you go. I'm going down the wrong road. Let me just... All right, hey, and a good woman doesn't delay. I got that in my notes. All right, she ain't trying to run anything. If you got a husband, stop trying to run stuff. You know, bring it. Get the husband involved. If he ain't getting involved, give him, drop some word on him. All right, here you go. All right. And I got a little thing here. Zora? What's Zora? Is that the woman's name? Anyway, I don't know. All right, better find you. Anyway. Where did I get that name from? Who is Zora? Oh, that's where she's from. Oh, okay. All right. So I got to change that. Yeah, if you're going to go look for a woman, find you somebody from Zora. Rather than Zero. Or Zorro. You don't want nobody from Zorro. They'll cut you up. Anyway.
out, look at your wife and ask her where she's from. Okay, no, here we go. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. All right. Al, don't start. All right, here we go. Verse 12. Al, you got to make sure you're listening to the word of the Lord. Don't let somebody take you down the wrong path.
All right,
Chuck. All right, verse 12. And Manoah said, now let thy words go. Here's how I know that God was all right with Manoah's request. Because he showed up. If God had a problem, God could have just said, I told your wife everything you need to know. Why are you coming back to me? He showed up. He showed up. He's asking a good question. He wants confirmation. I need to make sure about this thing. I heard about Adam. I need to make sure. All right. Verse 12. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Come on, McFly. She just told you. But he's still looking for that confirmation. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I already told the woman, you know, let her beware. The same thing, he's confirming his word. The same thing that I told her is still in effect today. It hasn't changed. Woo! I like that. That's not in my notes. The same word and the same story that we're reading about today is still in effect today. He will confirm his word to you. All right? And he does. And he'll give you instructions for how to have a good birth in the spiritual realm. He will tell you how to have a good birth. He has put something in each of us. You don't believe that? New Testament, parable of the talents. Everybody got at least one. And what are you going to do to protect the talent that he's given you to make sure that thing comes out right? All right. Let her beware of all that I said unto the woman. Let her beware. Let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. So he's telling them how to nurture and how to handle this, how to operate it. Because they've never had this type of blessing before, so it's wise to want to be taught what to do. To be presumptuous is kind of stupid. If you've never been there before, if you've never enjoyed it before, if you've never experienced before, don't just run in there and be doing things, all right, that you don't know what you're doing. I don't want to mess up God's blessing by being presumptuous or leaning on my own understanding. My son bought his first house, and I was able to help him because I've been there before. Now he just sold it. Oh, boy, there's a wonderful market to sell a house. Boy! Woo! He's up in Huntsville, Norman, and I mean, he's getting ready to clear almost 100K on this thing. I'm like, this is amazing. And he comes back.
I know him, see how much he gets to keep.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. So he's in an apartment now, but you know, and he got like two hits after a couple of hours. Got 14 people there out bidding and stuff like that. And he's like, "Hey, what do you think?" I'm like, "I can't help you. I can give you some common sense. I might be able to Google it." But I don't have the background that Norman has. I can't tell you what to do. You're going to pray about this one. Or you got a good realtor. Talk to your realtor if you trust your realtor, and they're out for your benefit. And it's the same thing. I don't want to be presumptuous and just think that just because I'm in the Lord that I got this thing. And so they're doing the right thing. I want to make sure. I want to get into the Word. I want to make sure I understand what's going on, because I've not done this before. Wife is really good in the yard or whatever, and she got some sod, and she laid some sod out. I've never laid sod out before. And she's telling me as I'm carrying this sod, I ain't real happy about that, but I'm carrying this sod out in the yard, and she goes, walk on that sod when you come back. Just walk on it, you know, sort of tape. I'm like, okay. So I'm walking, stepping on the side. She comes back the next day and says, well, you know, I Googled this and don't walk on the side anymore. It's walk on the side. I'm like, okay. I couldn't even get mad, Al. Because we've never had this type of blessing or experience before. So you want to go and figure out, what am I supposed to do with this? All right? Maybe that's more for young people, because young people think just because they know how to do technology, they know how to live.
Yeah.
No. You got me on the technology, but I can show you how to date. I can show you how to have a marriage. I can show you how to get out of a marriage. I can show you how to stay in a marriage. I can show you how to get a job. I can show you how to lose a job. I can show you how to do a resume. I got all kinds of things I can show you how to do. You don't know it all. You ain't been in the world long enough. And still won't believe me. So what do you do then? You do like Al and I. You get your popcorn, you watch the show. Here it comes. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what's going to happen with that one. Oh, yeah. This is where the good part. Yeah. The only thing I've learned over the years is just don't say I told you so. Because, you know. All right. I love John Corson. He's one of my favorite Bible commentaries. He said this. Notice that it wasn't that the child was to refrain. She was to be holy first. How she conducted herself was to spill over to the child. That's powerful. And my kids are out of the house, but I got grandkids, and I still want to be able to make sure that what I sow into them, you know, that I'm spilling over to them the right thing. All right. And Manoah has a role here. As I was looking at this last night, I added part B here. He's the helpmate. He's going to help her to be accountable. Why? Because he's going to get a benefit out of this. Application for today. Man, I love Bible study. I love the fellowship. I love what we're doing here. Because we're helping each other be accountable. Because when I get blessed, you guys get blessed. When you guys get blessed, I know I get blessed. I mean, you know, and so we are helping each other, iron sharpens iron or whatever, because there's a benefit involved in this, and we are all part of this greater ministry. Amen. All right. Oh, we got plenty of time. We're going to get through this. David's going to be so impressed. Verse 15, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou will offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. You don't do it for me. You don't do it for the pastor. You do it for the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. So he's getting this thing straight. Verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. That seems okay. He still got faith. He said, hey, we want to bless you because this is just great. I'm just so happy. I don't know what to do. That's almost like saying, you know, I'm going to have a child. Al just told me I'm going to have a child. I'm going to call the boy named Al. And if it's a girl, I'll call it Al. Alvina or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, so he wants to give her honor. I think that's great. Verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. You got everything you need to know to make this thing happen. Some things you don't need to know. So he's giving them a hint here, and we'll look at this later. Okay, I'm looking at my notes. All right, and here's an application. The angel says, whatever you sacrifice or whatever you want to give on my behalf, on anybody's behalf, make sure that your sacrifice is really first given to the Lord. Is there a problem if you sacrifice and you're not doing it for the Lord? He doesn't get the glory, and you're going to get frustrated. Why did I give him that? I didn't mean to give him that. I shouldn't have gave him that. But if you gave it to the Lord, you don't care what he does with it. Because you did what the Lord told you to do. And if I drive by somebody, I don't give them any money, I'm in the spirit, I'm like, nope. Not led to do it. If I do give somebody some money that's panhandling or whatever, and I feel like the Spirit of the Lord told me to do it, then, you know, well, you just wasted your money. No, I did what God told me to do. So I'm all right with that. All right? I just want to make sure that what I'm doing has God stamped all over that thing, or it just won't prosper. It won't come out right. The motivation will be wrong. I'm doing it, but I want you to pat me on the back because I did it. Mm-hmm. Well, you got your reward. So you want to make sure that God is first and foremost in what you're sacrificing and what you're doing. All right. So I think that's, I got in my notes, that's an excellent warning for us today. Now, the angel's got other things to do, I'm sure. Busy angel. Probably got some other people to meet. But the angel delays and waits for them. I don't know anything about cooking. You don't want to hear my cooking story. I don't know too much about cooking. But I got to believe that, Juanita, how long does it take to cook a kid? All right, so she ain't never cooked a goat before. I believe you can't stick it in the microwave, though.
No.
Okay, so it's going to take a little while, right? Why do you think, question, why do you think the angel of the Lord, who probably got some other things too, why do you think the angel of the Lord is going to hang around that long to wait for a meal that he ain't even going to eat? What is it? Let's put it to you this way. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say since Juanita don't know how to cook a goat, but she's getting ready to cook something for me or whatever. She's going to have to thaw it out, stuff like that. And I'm sitting over there at the house or whatever. I got to deal with Al or whatever. I'm just sitting there and she's cooking. All right. What am I going to have to do while I'm sitting there waiting for the meal? I'm going to have a conversation. Conversation with who? Al, and maybe encouraging her. Dear, I know what you're going through because I'm out here talking to this dude. All right, anyway. Well, what is that call when we're talking and we're engaging together? Fellowship. Fellowship. And when you bring the food along with it, it's communion. Fellowship and communion. And the angel of the Lord is going to delay. And we saw that in some of the other stories with Gideon. The angel hangs around and waits for him to cook a kid. You know what that kind of tells me? Because there's nothing new under the sun. From Genesis all the way through these stories, God doesn't have a problem with fellowship. In fact, I think that's his plan. God doesn't want to just give you a word, make you successful. Juanita said he wants to have fellowship with us. That's why he's our father. Anybody here fathers?
Fellowship with one another and with God.
Fellowship with one another, God, because God is our father. Norm, I love Norm, God.
That's how you build relationships.
Because it's relationship building through the communion. And God is a God of relationship, not religion. I love Norma. Norma got more kids than colors in a box of Skittles, man. I'm telling you. And man, Norman be posting this stuff, you know, with his son. I mean, you know, I feel like I'm connected to his family because he put out there, he got a football player, he's got this, got it. You know, I just want you know, he said, man, that's got to make you feel good.
Love the kids.
Yeah, they love the kids.
Charlie has to carry a notebook around.
Keep on, you know. Yeah. And man, I went to a wrestling match with Roger. You talking about a proud father? When Gabe was down there wrestling? Man, I'm telling you, bro. I'm like, man, that relationship. And the same relationship that parents want to have with their kids, that's the same type of relationship. You know, who wants a kid to give me this, give me that, give me the keys, give me this, give me that. Well, you know, come on, I'm going to stay and talk to me for a little bit? No. I'm too busy. Got to go. That's like the song, Cats in the Cradle.
That's what I was
saying. Yeah. Who did that? James Taylor? That wasn't James Taylor.
Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens. I like Cat Stevens. Yeah.
Cat?
No.
No, it wasn't Cat Stevens. It wasn't Jen Taylor either. It's the guy that died. I can't remember his name.
Chapter
to give
the verse in Revelation 3:20. You remember that verse?
What's that?
I'm in the funny Bible now.
Wait, hold on. Where are you reading from?
Revelation 3:20.
He's reading Revelation 3:20.
Let Al read it in the funny Bible.
Al, what's? Well, no, you read it because I can't hear what Al's saying.
Look, I stand at the door and knock.
Look, I stand at the door and knock.
If you hear my voice and open the door.
If you hear my voice and open the door.
Come in and we will share a meal together as friends.
I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I love it. Revelation 3:20. And so from Genesis all the way to the end, woo, praise God. Thank you. He's looking to hang out with us. Good gracious. I want to hang out with God. God wants to hang out with a rascal like me. As bad as I am, a holy God wants to hang out with you. You know what? That encouraged Al. I'm coming over to the house today with my mask. I'm going to hang out with you. If God wants to hang out with me, I don't have a problem hanging out with you. Amen. All right, so here we go. have a kid ready for when I get over there. All right, here we go. Man, isn't that wonderful? He wants to have communion. I say from Genesis, because look. Even after Adam said, he can't, hey, I want to hang out with you.
He shows you that no matter where you are in life, even if you mess up, he still wants a relationship.
Even if you don't know the specific plan, what she said was, no matter where you are in life, God still wants relationship. Even if you don't know the specific plan of God for your life, you got this plan down. Mm-hmm. He wants to hang out with you. Good gracious. What a God. He's our Father. All right. All right, now here's the thing. Out of Isaiah 9 and 6, the word secret in the Hebrew translates to wonderful. Why are you asking my name since you see that it's secret translated wonderful or incomprehensible? Oh, Roger, I just got this song in my mind. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus our Lord. Mass, you know what? We don't sing hymns enough sometimes. I tell you. Anyway, let me just keep going. I digress. All right. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock. I love that rock. Unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. Don't miss it. Who had to prepare the food?
His wife.
Yeah, the wife did. They did. Who had to get God there? They did. They had to call on him. They had to call on God. They had to recognize the need. I'm going through the steps. They had to make a sacrifice, change their mind, or repent from what they were getting ready to do something different. And then they got to the point where they did all they could do. Amen. And now they're to the point where all they can do is just look on. Ooh. And when they looked on, the angel did wondrously. For it came to pass, when the flame went up from heaven, from off the altar, a sign of acceptance of the sacrifice, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. He went up in the altar. Flame. And Manoah and his wife, what'd they do, Al?
They fell on the ground face down.
Now, before they fell on the ground, they looked at it.
Okay.
Yeah, they watched this. And then when they saw what was happening, then they fell on their faces to the ground to worship. Application for today.
Well, when you see the works of God, you acknowledge it.
When you Roger said, when you see the works of God, you acknowledge it. In fact, some of you are getting ready to go into worship, and you can go to worship and get ready to acknowledge through your praise and worship.
Amen.
When I see what God has done for me, I get excited and I want to respond in a manner of praise and worship. Amen. What other application? Look at the story. They set the fire. They brought, through the works of their hands, all right, the sacrifice. What God blessed them with, they gave it back to God. The flame that came off it. Ain't no fire without the kid, you know, not like that. And so when they brought the sacrifice, and he does something wondrously or miraculously or impressive with the sacrifice, how does that relate to us today? There is an application. Holy Spirit? Okay.
Jesus rose from the dead.
Jesus rose from the... Okay. Wait a minute. Let me follow what Roger said. Jesus rose from the dead. How are you putting the resurrection of Christ into this story?
Well, there was a sacrifice.
There's a sacrifice. First two steps. Cross. They sacrificed the lamb.
Yeah, and the wonder, they performed wonders. We don't know exactly what that was. I'm sure it wasn't a car trick.
Well, he went up.
Yeah, yes, sir.
With the sacrifice. Ooh, so you see Christ and the resurrection symbolic in this type of Christ going up in the flame, going back to the Father. The resurrection. Wait a minute. Has God done anything wondrous in your life following those steps?
Absolutely.
Have we called on God because we're in need?
Yes.
Mm. Did we do everything that we needed to do and changing our mind from, man, I can't trust in my logic and in myself and in my finances. I'm going to have to give this to the Lord and trust in Him. And have we put our hope in the Lord? Has there ever been a situation when you put your hope in the Lord where there was nothing else that you could do but just wait? And after you waited and He showed up, was it wondrous? Did it cause you to want to praise God right then and there? Oh, I ought to get an amen and a hallelujah out of that for something. Good gracious. All right. So here it is. It's applicable today. What happened to them should be happening to us on a daily basis. We ought to just give it to God and just watch Him work. If we could do wondrously in and of ourselves, then we wouldn't need Him. I can't watch wondrous unless I give it to Him to do it. And yes, Al, sometimes it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch Him work. Oh, this is all throughout the New Testament. Was there a need when the multitude was hungry? Did He find a little boy with a two-piece and some sides? Okay. did it look like that was going to feed him? No. But when they put that talent, that resource in God's hand, all they had to do was stand back and watch the miracle. Did He do wondrously?
Yeah.
Don't it make you want to just go on and say amen, hallelujah, just fall down, just good gracious and mighty.
He's the only one that can do wonders.
He's the only one that can do wonders.
It's like Moses and the staff, and everything else is smoke and mirrors. Like when he threw down his staff and it was a snake, and then they did some trick and they had two snakes.
Yeah.
The Lord snake ate the other two snakes.
Well, you know, other people can do wondrous things too, but it just don't last. Yeah. Yeah. I watch these magicians on TV all the time. Man, I wonder how y'all do that.
That's a card trick.
Yeah.
It's illusion.
It's illusion. It is illusion. Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but I'm like, you know what? My God got a bigger trick than that. Stay in the ground for 3 days and come back up. Can you do that? That ain't no illusion.
Hey.
By the third day, you kind of got.
That would be a good
That would be the greatest comeback in history. That would be the greatest comeback in history. Amen. And it was the greatest comeback in history. And he gave us the power to do what? Come back. He's still doing wonders in our life through the resurrection. All right. Here we go. And my warning there is stay humble. When you see him do wondrous things, just remember who did the wondrous things. You didn't do it. So stay humble. All right. Verse 21. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Didn't need to. They had a word. They had confirmation of the word. Just obey the word. Just obey the word. Jesus is not here. Spirit is here. Just obey the word. And he leads his spirit so that you can obey the word. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. After he saw all that, he was like, oh man, this ain't no ordinary guy. This angel of the Lord. His wife knew it, but you know. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. I mean, that's how they thought back then. But his wife said unto him, I love this. Ooh, this is a good woman. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, if God wanted to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. That's a powerful word from his wife. I got it in my notes here. And basically what she's saying is, don't worry about whether God is going to really kill us or not. Don't be fearful of that. Because if God really wanted to kill us, God's not evil. If God really wanted to kill us, why would he accept our sacrifice?
And you wonder why he saw her first.
And yeah, what did she say? Yeah, you wonder why. Why? Yeah, we wonder why God went to her first. Okay. There you go. Hey, Al, I can't help you with that one, brother. You know, that's it. She got you on that one. Anyway, yeah, because her faith was probably a little great. She was in greater need. Well, you know what? It's a woman that broke the alabaster box. Because she had more to be delivered from, and she was more appreciative of it, I think. This is just Chuck talking.
Yeah,
she wanted it, and she needed it more, and so she... Yeah. You got other Christians in there talking about, it don't take all that. Anyway. Yeah. He would not have bothered to show us this prophecy. He would not have revealed the word to us. He would not have shown us that this season is about to expire of barrenness and unfruitfulness, and we're getting ready to step into a new season. He would not have told us, I heard it said today, he would not have told us about the promises. He would not have shown us this wonderful vision. And I got the scripture, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. It's like the children of Israel. I mean, we do this sometimes. Children of Israel, they come out of Egypt, and God's plan is to bring them all the way into the promised land. They get halfway out in the middle, and they go, oh, God, he brought us out here to kill us. No, he didn't. He wouldn't have delivered you and had the lamb sacrifice in Egypt if he wanted to kill you out here before you made it all the way to the end. He wouldn't have parted the Red Sea for you to have your resurrection and to wash away your past. If he was to want to kill you at Mount Sinai before he brought you in the promised land. Sometimes we don't understand the plan and the nature and the love of God to think that he'd be so cruel. I'm going to bring him all the way out here. Then we'll watch him die. No. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And here's the deal. What the woman said is, you think God is going to kill us after he gave all this revelation? Application for today. If you got a word today, you think God really thinks he's wasting his time with you and not going to bring you? You really think that your best days ain't in front of you if you got a word out of this today? He'll never leave you forsaken. If you leave that, you're walking that. It's like, hey, you know what? It might look bleak, but God is still with me. He did not bring me this far to legal. So when I told you the testimony about the prison ministry and how all of a sudden we might be on the hook for $12,000, and I don't have $12,000. I don't have $12,000 in the ministry budget to do this. And all of a sudden I started to get fearful. I'm like, whew, oh, man, where am I going to get $12,000 from? I'm going to have to come out of pocket with that or whatever. You know, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do this in my own strength. God, you brought the prison ministry this far. You didn't leave us here to fail with, you know, no. And all of a sudden, before the day was out, somebody said, oh, we got this. It's no problem. Look at God. Sometimes we got to trust him just like that. So we know, all right, we got a problem that we got to deal with. Well, you know, it's God's problem. It ain't my problem. Every time I lost my job, Al, you know what I said after I had my panic attack or whatever? I lose a job, I'd be like, you know, they say, hey, how you doing with the job search? I'm like, I'm doing great. You got a job? No, I don't. Well, what's the problem? It ain't my problem. It's God's problem to get me a job. I did what I needed to do. I called on his name and I fixed my resume and I said, I'm sending it out. Now it's on him. I've done my part. I'm trusting. I'm waiting on him. It ain't my job to get a job. It's his job to do wondrously with it. Ooh, God, goodness. That'll preach. I'm going to have to adjust this. All right, anyway. Let me go. Here we go. Last minute because we're 2 minutes over. And the woman bare a son called his name Samson. Samson means like the sun, the S-U-N. But he's also got a little bit of S-O-N in him. Why you say that, Chuck? And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And we ought to seek the Spirit to move us like that, because our strength comes from the Lord. We have completed Judges, chapter 13. Next week, if Jesus tarries, we will be in Judges, chapter 14. All right. So happy that the plow didn't break and we were able to plow through it despite the many distractions that we had. Are there any comments before we leave? Good to have the Alexanders with us.
There's something at the end.
Great to be here. Great word, Mr.
Johnson. Oh, thank you, Ms. Alexander. Appreciate both you guys. All right.
But what it says about understanding at the bottom, I have the teaching Bible, and this is something.
What does the teaching Bible say?
It says, Mona asked the angel for an answer that he wouldn't have understood. So sometimes we ask God questions and then receive no answer. This may not be because God is saying no. We may have asked for knowledge beyond our ability to understand or accept.
So I've heard that said two ways, and I like the way it said. Sometimes when God says no, it's not never.
Yes.
It's just not yet.
Or
not now.
It may be a no, but you may not understand it. But it comes to a point in your life, and you're like, wow. I get it now.
Yeah. Yep, I get it now. In fact, I was sharing with my daughter. My daughter's trying to take a certification test for her job. You know, she's an architect or whatever. She's got to take like 5 exams. She studied real hard and she failed one of these exams. Missed it like by like 6 points. And I called her up because I'm like, man, she's going to be devastated. And she's like, oh, freaky deaky, I'm great. You know, I wish I had passed, but I'm all right. Because God didn't bring me this far. Either God is trying to redirect me, or God, you know, it's just me. I got a greater testimony. Yeah, because he didn't bring, you know, either he's trying to get my attention because I'm missing something along the way, or else I just need to plow through because somebody's going to get blessed because somebody else is going to fail this thing, and they're going to need to be encouraged to know he didn't bring you this far. He didn't bring you this far. All right, I'm done. Al? I'm